A president that guided the country through the university through its darkest hour, a far-reaching educational philosophy, a university leader who was a bit of a scoundrel. The history of Illinois State University is full of unique and little-known stories. Laura Kennedy has more with the author of a new book that digs deep into the university's past and uncovers heroes, scalawags, and a governor with a soft spot for castles.
April Carlene Anderson spends her days literally surrounded by the history of ISU. As university archivist, she has access to items great and small pertaining to the one-time teachers' college, now university. Anderson says she was surprised that no one in the 160-year history of ISU had actually penned a book about the university. So she did it herself. Put out by Arcadia Publishing, the new book is part of a nationwide campus history series. Anderson explained she wanted to give alumni, students, and the community a chance to learn about the campus. She traced a variety of tales about early days of the university, including the influence of an educational philosophy known as Herbartianism, which was introduced by educator Charles DeGarmo.
It is actually a German-based educational philosophy that was started around the 1830s in Germany. Charles DeGarmo, when he was a student, decided he was going to go to Jena, Germany, and learn this philosophy, and he brought it back to the United States and brought it back directly to Illinois State, which is where this form of pedagogy known as Herbartianism was found. It became known as American Herbartianism, and the five founders of this Herbartianism movement, which was Charles DeGarmo, there's three McMurrays. There's Lyda McMurray, Charles McMurray, and Frank McMurray.
Not Fred McMurray?
See, you're throwing me.
Sorry.
So many names. And Cecil Van Loo. They were all here in the 1890s. And with John Cook, they developed and blossomed this form of pedagogy that became the pedagogy taught in the United States. It was all the normal schools were teaching it. It was started and founded here. There was even a national organization known as the American Herbartianism. We were that founding educational philosophy that's taught. And elements of that are still found in education, that if you go to a school today, you still see elements of that philosophy in schools. So we founded that here.
Could you give me an example of the philosophy?
Sure. So in a nutshell, if you think of it as developing a moral character. So if you have a small child and you have them in their class and you want to teach them about being an upstanding citizen, you teach them about Charles Hovey and how Charles Hovey, with the students who were on campus and they were all trying to go to the Civil War and they wanted to fight in the Civil War, he says, no, 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 I'll join with you if you get that degree. He got permission to have the 33rd Illinois from Abraham Lincoln. They all joined up together once they got their degree. And they went off to fight in battle. That's an upstanding citizen if you've ever seen one. And if you teach children about these amazing people in history, they too in turn will want to be moral citizens. And so you're creating a moral citizen to be part of our community and our larger community. So you still see some of that in education today, teaching people about morality and also repetitiveness. So you go to say third and fourth and fifth grade and you're learning the same math you learned from your previous year, but they're tacking on a little extra. And that was also found in Herbartianism. So you do see small elements of Herbartianism in today's education.
And I guess it's no coincidence that the education building on the ISU campus was named for Charles DeGarmo.
Exactly. That was purposely done.
Well, you just mentioned Lincoln. Could you tell us a bit about Lincoln's association with Illinois State University?
Oh, sure. So Lincoln and Jesse Fell, I like to use them as the example and then mesh them together with modern day roommate examples. They were paired together in Vandalia. They were randomly paired together to be roommates when they were both lawyers, got to know each other, found that they had similar interests, and they became lifelong friends. And if it weren't for Jesse Fell, Abraham Lincoln would never have run for president, and he wouldn't have been our 16th president. So Jesse Fell had a huge influence on Lincoln becoming president in the United States. So when Jesse Fell was founding the university here, he asked Lincoln to be the attorney, if you will, to create the bond of sale documents that citizens, when they were donating money and building up the money to buy the land and purchase the land in North Bloomington, Abraham Lincoln was the attorney for the Board of Education at the time. But Lincoln was, at Jesse Fell's request, here for him and got those documents put together, and that's how we got our university.
It's wonderful that on campus we have the Jesse Fell gates on the east side of the campus, and then on the west side of the campus we have the Lincoln gates. They're opposite each other. So they're still sort of united in a way on campus.
Oh, yeah, actually, I never thought of it that way, to be honest. They link each other together. So, yeah, and I think that they're, I hate for a better lack of a, I like to think it's like a buddy cop movie. They're just, I've always in my mind held them together as the best of friends. And it's just like students today getting randomly paired up in a room. You never know what kind of friendships you're going to find when you come to school and, you know, and want to better the world. And that's exactly what they were doing. And they became the best of friends.
Well, Fell Hall actually used to be a place where students would be paired up because it was a dormitory at one point, and you have photographs of the rooms in the book. That was pretty spacious for a dorm room.
My gosh, for what I say, $6.25 a week? For $6+ a week, you got some swanky digs. Yeah, I mean, you got the nice bedding and the furniture that was in the room. You got meals. I mean, Fell Hall was the first dormitory on campus. We did not have dormitories prior to that. Students were required to find their own housing, and they most often lived with their own professors in town or with locals in town who had boarding facilities. So you'd have professors here who were teaching and then on the side making a little extra money and let students live in their homes. They being administration at the time, had been trying to have a dormitory for decades, and it just, funding being what it was, they just never could secure the money until around 1918, when they did secure the money, built the first dormitory named for Jesse Fell, and it became the first women's dormitory on campus.
One of the most striking buildings on campus is Cook Hall. It's very easy if you tell somebody who's never been to the Illinois State University campus, well, just look for the big castle. How on earth did we end up with a castle on the quad?
Well, there was a governor the Alfgett Castles. There was a governor who was very fond of that architecture. So five state universities have one of these styled buildings that are on this campus. The rumor is, and I say rumor because I've not been able to prove it yet, I've heard lots of people tell me that if you were to take the building plans, the footprints of all of these five castles and put them together, it will make one giant castle. And my first question would be, why? And then my second, why would we do this? And then my second question is, prove it. And I have not been able to prove that yet. But that's right. If you say, look for the castle, everybody knows where that castle is. And that is our oldest building currently on campus.
The buildings on campus are named for former presidents. We have Hovey and so forth, the past important people associated with Illinois State University. But there was a president who wasn't president for very long, and that was President Brown. Mm-hmm. Could you tell me a bit about him?
Well, he has a little bit of a sordid history. So Brown was only here for about 3 years, but when he was here, started in 30, the university was on the brink of closure. And by closure, I mean closing down, never opening again closure. We were in danger, both financially, but also in losing our accreditation. So he took it upon himself to do this reconstruction, if you will, of our administrative system within the campus and develop this idea of departments. So instead of coming to school here and just taking some courses that would lead to your degree, you'd actually have a department that you could focus in. Say, if you were a part of the speech department, that included theater, that you could go in that direction with your education. You were still getting a teaching degree, but you were focusing your teaching degree in a particular direction, as well as taking the gen ed courses. So he saved the university by helping develop these academic departments, but at the same time, he may have had a little something on the side with a lady friend. The rumor was, and I'm pretty sure this was the case, he brought with him from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, a woman who was his secretary, but he forged her certifications that she had a teaching certificate when she actually did not have a teaching certificate. He forged a lot of these documents for her to come here and work for him, and then she started firing longtime faculty. When faculty found out about her non-credentials, they put together a committee and we're going to kick him out. And he ended up resigning and leaving almost in the middle of the night, actually. He turned in his resignation to the Teachers College Board and left. Of all of my presidential portraits, he is the only one I do not have a presidential. Well, no, actually, there's two that I don't have a presidential portrait for. But he is one of them that I do not have one for.
Because he wasn't long enough here to get one.
Well, he was here long enough to have a portrait. The joke is, is that he maybe took it with him in the middle of the night. But we've not been able to locate it if there was one that was created. We can't prove that there was one created. And even if there was one created, we can't find it. He's one of our more colorful presidents in history.
That's April Carlene Anderson, archivist for Illinois State University. Her new book about the history of ISU is out right now from Arcadia Publishing. I'm Laura Kennedy.
You can see a photo of author April Carlene Anderson along with acclaimed actor and ISU graduate Gary Cole, who brandished the saber of ISU President Charles Hovey, on our website, wglt.org.